the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Melanie of The Curio and Candle Shop in Nashville, Tennessee. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, and we will be checking in with our co-host here shortly. But first, I'd like to say thank you so much to my personal BFF, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in St. Edward, Nebraska, for stepping up to the plate and doing an outstanding job filling in last Sunday. Thank you so much, my friend, and I adore you and I love you. Turning it over to you, Miss Kat. Thank you.
Well, I was just going to echo that sentiment. Good to have you back, Miss Tammy Lee. But
Thank you, ma'am. What
an astounding fill-in by Papa New. That really blew our minds.
Yes, welcome back. And,
yes,
that was yeah,
fun.
And we're so, but we're very happy to have you back.
Thank you so much.
We love you both. All right. Well,
Thank
I have a few little updates to mention here about what's going on in my neck of the woods. A couple of just little random things going on. If anyone under the sound of my voice is a graduate of the Hoodoo Root Work Correspondence course, you all probably know that there is a Facebook group for course alumni. Get yourself on over to that and look at the message that I just posted there. That's just for graduates, and just, you know, the public can see it, but it's just for graduates to respond to. Number two, work at the AIR site is progressing very well, and I want to thank Conjurman Ali and also Matt Wilton, known as Consumes in our little circle of friends, and Michelle Jackson of AIR for working on the Netcheru, or Egyptian deities. And this week we introduced the page on Bastet, or Bast, my favorite Netcheru. And because she's a cat goddess, and I'm a cat. And she's also the patron of perfumers, and I'm a perfumer. So, and then over at the Lucky W Amulet Archive, the page on the Guatemalan, deity, I guess you could call him, Mashaman, has been vastly updated, and I wanted to thank Ernie Medeiros and Leah Rivera and Nagashiva Ironwood for helping with that project, getting my text into a nice format that would be on a good page. So that's at luckymojo.com/maximon.html, which is pronounced Mashamon, but it's spelled M-A-X-I-M-O-N. Looks like Maximon. Sounds like Mashamon. And you can check these things out by going to the AIR Facebook page or the Lucky Mojo Facebook page. And if you're not friends with those pages, I do want you to friend us. Now, you may be my friend of Catherine Ironwood, but if you're not a friend of Lucky Mojo, you won't see all the Lucky Mojo news. Likewise, if you're a friend of Lucky Mojo but not my friend, you won't see all my news. So we do encourage people to friend us both individually and as a company. And also the AIR family of readers and root workers has its own Facebook page. Do friend that thing or like it. I guess it's a page. You have to like it. You can't friend it. You can like people, you can friend people, but you can only like pages. That's how it is at Facebook. And another little shout out to Elvira Cucurito Love, who is Miss Elvira at AIR, has finally stepped up to the Facebook plate, and she has a page of her own, and she's looking for friends. I think last time I checked in, she had in the 20s, and I know she deserves more. Excuse me, these would be likes, not friends. So confusing. She needs more followers, fans, likes, whatever, of her page. You can find that by just going to my Facebook feed, Catherine Ironwood, and you'll see where I posted about it, and so did Nagashiva. Oh, and people are posting little things in the chat room if you're in the chat now. But if you're not, if you're listening to this later, just check it all out and give us all a little love on Facebook. All right, that was it for me. I guess I don't have anything else new to report other than that work on the railroad is proceeding. We are acquiring buildings now. We have gone beyond rolling stock and are acquiring buildings. So how are things over in Southern California, Conjurman Ali?
Things are wonderful. I am, you know, getting into the season. It's getting nice and cold, which is excellent for me. I happen to enjoy that. This past week has been particularly good in terms of clients, very busy. But I've been actually working for the past couple of weeks on a very intense court case matter. And it's a particularly big one. It's about a little guy. When I mean little guy, I mean figuratively, not my client. It's a little guy going up against a very big company. And it's a company that, if I were to name, we would all know. And this week we have some amazing news that we finally got them, using my, you know, some harsher work to start to settle and to the amount that we want them to. So it was excellent news. I'm very happy to report that we're having success on that front. Other than that, because the holidays are coming up, you know, there's definitely been an increase in clients and readings, people who are missing their loved ones, people who are curious about family, people who are desiring reconciliation. So there's been a definite theme for the past couple of weeks, and it seems to be reaching a sort of crescendo as we come closer and closer to Thanksgiving.
Wow. Okay. Great. Good news for you. That's I like to hear about these successes.
Mm-hmm.
So let us, without further ado, bring in our wonderful guest, Ms. Melanie. She was scheduled to be on last week, had to be swapped out with Dr. E because she was a little under the weather, and it's so nice to have you here today, Ms. Melanie.
Oh,
welcome
you.
To the show.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, I'm still a little stuffy, so got a little cough, but I'm much better this week.
Thanks
well,
for joining me. You're such a champ.
That's great. Well, tell us how things are doing down where you are, down in the south central states, down in Tennessee.
It's going good down here. I did a couple of festivals in October, which was successful, getting myself out there, getting, you know, my name out there. My sign had Hoodoo Psychics on it and AIR on it, so I'll let everybody know about, you know, that. And I had a lot of people come by, actually, and ask me about your course, Ms. Kat.
Yeah.
So I gave talked to some people about that, and they're going to sign up for it. And so we've been doing really good, and this past week just recovering from the cold and trying to get back on my feet.
Well, great.
That's what I've been into.
Well, we always love to see you on Hoodoo Psychics, and that's a whole issue, and certainly getting the word out about that is something else. I mentioned about likes and liking pages. If y'all haven't liked Hoodoo Psychics, y'all ought to like it. And you've been a stalwart reader on Hoodoo Psychics, so
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of us, this whole little group, and I guess, you know, many of these people are people who have taken my course, and we all kind of form a little community, I guess you could say. We all have our own different ways of working. We all go our separate ways, and in the end, we all live in different places and live different lives. But it's lovely that people are kind of seeing that community, and that they came up to you somewhere in Tennessee and said they want to take my course. That's kind of neat. I appreciate it. Thank you for telling me that, because we are kind of, you know, this is the internet age, man. We're all over the place,
yeah,
and it's not all just about. Yeah. It's not all just about me.
People.
I want to make that real clear. You know, people say, Miss Kat this, Miss Kat that. It's not all just about me. I really am here to spend my time trying to help others in many ways. One way, help them personally. They can become my client or my shop customer. Another way is to I'm trying to help the newer generations of readers and root workers get the personal fame and be able to live the bohemian lifestyle they aspire to. And that involves us all acknowledging, helping each other. And so that's just good.
I was excited about it.
Yeah.
That's just so cool.
That's just so cool. Well, we have a panel discussion scheduled, and you are unusual in our group in that, well, you are. Wait a minute. Before I go on, I just got to interrupt myself. Miss Michael posted something in the chat room. She said, Miss Cat likes to tell talented folks, quote, we got to make you famous, unquote. And I got to say something about that. I got to give a shout out to the man who said that to me. And that was a comic book artist named Will Eisner. I went to interview him. I was on welfare. I'd been raising, I was a single mom living in the country. And I got a little gig to do an interview with him. And he asked me, you know, he didn't just answer the questions that I was interviewing him about his famous life as a cartoonist. He said, what do you do? And I told him. And he said, well, we've got to get you out of that. He said, we've got to get you famous. We've got to get you well-supported financially. He goes, I'll do everything I can to help you. And he did. And by basically saying, hey, I was interviewed by this really great gal. You should hire her to do more interviews. And, you know, he talked me up, and he basically brought me out of the miry clay, as it were, Will Eisner. And so if I do the same to others, it's kind of because he taught me how helpful that can be to the young, to the people who have been in the midst of a life program that got cast down or broken due to divorce or whatever, illness, and want to get back on their feet. So all praise to Will Eisner. Okay, that's just had to say that because people think I'm such a lovely saint, but I actually learned that from him, and he wasn't a saint either. He was a good capitalist. That's one of the things he told me. He said, we're going to have you join the capitalist system now in progress. So anyway. All right, I'm sorry, I just had to say that because Miss Michael put that in the chat. But let's get to our panel discussion, spirit boards. And this is where I was going to say, Miss Melanie, you are unusual among the readers and root workers of AIR and current-day hoodoo practitioners, and that you work extensively with spirit boards. And anyone can go to your AIR page. There they will see a beautiful spirit board that you use, a wooden board. Spirit boards, sometimes known as Ouija boards, even though Ouija is a brand name, sometimes known as talking boards. And you can read a lot about them. At AIR, we have a whole description of their history. But Ms. Melanie is one of the readers who uses them extensively. And if you want a spirit board reading, you can set up with you a pre-scheduled reading with you, right? And you will do a spirit board reading for people.
Yeah, they have their choice of the tarot spirit board, but sometimes I go back and forth during my readings with the spirit board and the tarot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want a direct yes, if they want a direct yes or no answer, I can give them that. If they want an explanation, then we go back to the tarot.
Right. So tell us about how you got in. Yeah, tell us how you got into spirit board reading. What was your background that got you into this? Because this is a real old 19th century methodology.
I know, right? I have no idea. One day I was at a local metaphysical store that had some pretty pendulums. I grabbed one. I started paying. I started playing with just a deck of cards. This was, years ago. And I would have, the Ace of Hearts for yes, and then I would have, the Ace of Spades for no. Mm-hmm. And then I started playing with that. And then I was like, wow, because, see, I would hear it first. You know, they say it's part of the subconscious. So then I had to start with the whole thing of clearing my mind so that I didn't hear it, so that I would get a true answer. And so you have to be able to, it's kind of like stepping back a little bit and stepping away from the situation and trying not to think, not, don't manifest what you want the answer to be. So that takes a lot of practice.
Well, back up, because this is very complex. You found a pendulum. You found a pendulum, and you decided to use this pendulum for yes or no's by putting out two playing cards, Ace of Hearts for yes and Ace of Spades for no. And then after you started working with the pendulum with this yes-no, you began to hear yes or no in your mind's ear, what we would call clairaudient, right?
Right. I've been able to hear since I was little.
Okay. So this kind of transferred from being clairaudient into being able to answer a client's question.
Yeah. So I've been able to hear since I was little. So even though they ask the yes or no question, yes, I can hear the answer, but you have to say, okay, I don't want to hear that answer. I want you to show me and tell me the answer.
So you moved it from clairaudient to what sometimes people call the ideomotor response, or to a pendulum. In other words, to where what you heard became the pendulum going yes or no. Okay,
yeah.
I get that. And this makes sense to me, because I've done the same, not as formally as you have, but I've done the same where I know the answer, but the pendulum tells me the answer. I mean, I say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to look at this, right? I never have used the playing cards. That's a beautiful, I learned how to do a little pattern where you go across sideways would be one answer, and forward and backward the other, you know, from you and away.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was taught is from you and out is yes. It's like I could move forward on this line. And if it goes across your body, that's no. It's like a block, right?
Right.
And there was a clockwise circle is a maybe, and a counterclockwise circle is I ain't going to give you an answer. I don't know the answer. That's how I was taught. Everybody's taught pendulum different. But now you got this onto these cards. Now, how did you get from that to the full-on spirit board with all the letters of the alphabet and hello, goodbye?
I was thumbing through. I wanted more. You know, I just wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted to be able to get more answers than just yes and no, you know, when I started out. So then I thought, well, I'm gonna make one. I tried that didn't work. That's really hard. the way mine looked, you know, because you have to, you take one of the burning carvers, you know, and you have to burn the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so then I found someone who actually makes them, and so I sent her an email, and I said, you know, this is what I want on mine, you know, all the things that I've come across through time that I want on mine. And so that's what she, you know, she put, you know, the emotional, the mental, the physical, the spiritual, you know, short term, medium term, you know, long term, the numbers, maybe, yes, no. And I also have on mine, it shall come to pass. Now, the reason I have that on mine, it shall come to pass, is goes back to diplomacy, the way I was taught. You know, that you open the Bible three times. And then if you find on the third time it shall come to pass, then, you know, your wish will be granted, you know, that it's going to come true. And then I also had crosses put on mine as well, because I am a Christian. And so this is, you know, this is a holy instrument for me. You know, this is a holy thing for me. You know, and to keep everything out, there's so many. You can get good things from a spirit board, talking board, whatever you want to call it. But you know,
Can we back up? I want to say something else. You put it shall come to pass on it because that is used in bibliomancy with the Bible. Is a very, very old way of working, that if you get that. I was also told, just going to say, just throw in a couple of things. If you get verily, verily, it also will come to pass, right? Those are two of the phrases,
right.
You know, that mean your wish will be granted, or what you ask about will come to pass. So now here's where we're going to bring up a topic, and a little bit controversial. There are people who believe that spirit boards are of the devil, because spirits should not do, and so forth, so on. But by marking your spirit board with crosses, and by working with the Bible, you are in a tradition, and I'm going to say this is called Christian spiritualism. Now, you may not call yourself a Christian spiritualist or a spiritualist Christian, but
mm-hmm.
that's what an anthropologist would call you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is for those who say, well, you know, those Ouija boards summon demons. No, they summon whatever you ask for. So you have actually
exactly.
marked your spirit board with Christian symbolism to work with it in a Christian spiritualist context. Is that correct?
Exactly.
You know, I just wanted to add something to that because it's important. You know, Ouija board sales or spirit board sales go through the roof around Halloween. It is a common, you know, trope, if you will, to mess around with that in Halloween, and it's also a common horror trope that messing with it will lead to some type of, you know, dangerous situation. And I just wanted to say that protection for spirit board is absolutely great and all those things are, but I think that the spirit board shouldn't be approached with a sense of fear. Like all
right.
forms of divination, it is a means of divining. Divining is accessing the divine, accessing the ability to foretell the future, to gain answers from the world of spirit. Are there unfriendly spirits? Absolutely. There certainly are, but that doesn't mean that by accessing the world of spirit, you're automatically exposing yourself to destruction. A lot of people come with it with a sense of fear. The reality is, spirits of that nature are more attracted to your fear than they are the Ouija board. So if you approach a spirit board with the intention of confidence, with respect, with trying to commune with the world of spirit, you're not going to expose yourself to danger. And I think that should be said because there is a I think of all the divination systems, the spirit board is the one that's most maligned by people
mm-hmm.
who don't understand it, who talk about it being a gateway for demons and such. And that's not something that you need worry about in my mind. As a person who works with spirits extensively, now just a little interesting fact is while the Ouija board came out, I believe in the 1890s, and you know the retail history a little bit
mm-hmm.
more than I do, Kat. I think
mm-hmm.
it was popularized, if I'm not mistaken, by the spiritualist Pearl Curran, right? Yeah, after World
yeah,
War.
Yeah, among others. Yes.
Yeah,
among may
others,
I just
right. But it was the
yeah.
spiritualist movement that kind of pushed it forward in this direction.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of table rapping too, but I gotta jump
yes.
in on this trope. You mentioned the trope of the Ouija board opening the world to negativity. As far as I've been able to research, and I stand to be corrected if anyone can find an earlier one, the novelist and short story writer Jack London is the man who actually
mm-hmm.
created that idea and gave rise to all of these urban legends of teenagers bringing in bad things. And he wrote it would be considered a long short story or a short novella, whatever, called Planchette. And it is about some people up here in Northern California who sit around and they play with the planchette. Now, the planchette is a little table that moves around on the spirit board. And they were using the old-fashioned planchette where you have a pencil and it writes automatic writing. But it's part of the same family of divination tools. And in the story, I'm not going to give it away, but terrible things happen. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. And that story, Jack London at the time, I mean, this man was as popular as Stephen King was later. You know what I'm saying? He was like one of the most popular writers of fiction. And that story, I believe, is the root of the urban legend that playing around with the planchette or the spirit board will cause bad things to happen. And it, of course, has gone on and on and on into movies and TV shows and teenage girls telling each other these things.
Yeah.
Somebody said, yeah, he's the guy who wrote White Fang. Yes, indeed. Same guy. Paul the Wild. He wrote a lot of things. But that's my understanding of it. Now, he was just a novelist. He just wrote a story, you know. But it took over. And this is one of these things. Popular culture, it can warp and mutate something.
Absolutely.
And in this case, the spirit board, it was just a horror story. He just wrote a horror story. But it is not based on any fact, prior to his horror story, and you know, the spirit boards and the planchettes were being used in a religious context, in a spiritualist context. And
even older than that, people, I mean, the idea of the spirit board is really linked to automatic writing. And the very idea is you have a spirit take over your hand or move your hand to write. I mean, that's far more intimate than the spirit board. And people were doing that for ages, since antiquity. I mean, we find records of it in China, if I remember correctly, without the sense of fear. So you can kind of see where it comes from. There's a long history of working with spirits without that sense of, oh no, I'm going to be possessed, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I read for a lady at one of the festivals, and my spirit board was sitting there, and I went to grab it, and she said, no, I was possessed by a demon from one of those when I was younger. And I kind of looked at her, and I was like, don't have to worry about that. I promise. I promise this is not going to cause you any harm.
let me ask you a question now. When you deal with spirits through the Ouija board or the spirit board, do you deal always with the same spirits? I mean, do you have what we would call familiar spirits? Countryman Ollie uses a carnelian ring, and he has a spirit that embodies in that ring, which he calls his spirit of divination. This is a familiar spirit to him. Do you have a familiar spirit? Are these the spirits of the dead? Are they the spirits who simply happen to be waiting across the veil, ready to answer a question? Who are they? Ancestors, yeah. Who are they?
It is my spirit guide, who is an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who it is. It's him.
Mm-hmm.
He answers all the questions for me. And as far, before I start my readings for the day, I have a whole, ceremony that I personally go through with me and my board, of prayers and, asking for St. Michael for protection. And then sometimes I'll know if something's not right with it. It needs a good cleansing, which I'll tell you about that later. But it's when I hear the answer and then it gives me a different answer on the board.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I know. Oh, okay, now something is amiss here. So that's when I have to do my whole cleansing ceremony for it. But sometimes things do go amiss with it, but not often.
The Indian spirit guide, we're going to talk about that for just a second, because this is, again, there's going to be people listening to this show now or in the future who have no idea what you just talked about. They're going to say, they're going to say, she worships Kali, she has some Hindu god. No. Indian spirit guide, I guess now, to be politically correct, you'd want to call it Native American spirit guide.
Yeah.
But back in the day, in the 19th century, the term was Indian, and so they're called Indian spirit guides. In the spiritualist churches, it became quite common for people who were or were not Americans of non-Native descent, and this could include both white Americans and black Americans, to contact Indian spirit guides. One of the most famous examples of this was in the Hoodoo community is Leafy Anderson, who was a black woman who contacted the Native American war leader Black Hawk, and he was her Indian spirit guide. And why Indians? People have asked about this. It is thought, at the time, there was so much theory about it in the 19th century, so many Native Americans were being killed and were in a transitional stage where they didn't want to leave the earth and they wanted to connect. And also it was known that a lot of Native Americans, especially male warriors, prized the ability to run fast. This was a well-known cultural value, to run long distances, to run fast. And we still see among athletes in America that there's quite a number of long-distance runners and long-distance athletes who are part Native American, part black usually. And so this was translated into running and delivering messages. And you'll see people talk about in 19th century accounts of spiritualism how their Indian spirit guide went and got the message or brought to them an answer from another spirit, or brought to a sitter, that is a client, the spirit of someone who they wanted to contact. For instance, a woman's child died many years ago, and she's now a middle-aged lady, and she wants to contact the spirit of that child and see how that child is doing in the other world. She will go to a spiritualist reader. They will contact their Indian spirit guide, who will then bring the spirit of that child forth. And I'm just
That's
describing how this used to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I used
to. Yeah, so this is what, I'm not meaning to speak for you, but I just felt I had to footnote that. That is what when Ms. Melanie says my Indian spirit guide, that's what she's talking about, is the old spiritualist tradition, still very, very popular, both in the black spiritualist churches and in the white spiritualist churches. And for those who follow Cuban traditions, I'm just going to put a little note here, footnote, parallel to, similar to, not the same as, the Lama Dhamma tradition of Cuba, okay? Similar to, in that one contacts the spirit of a black slave woman who has some divination qualities.
If you are familiar
but not
with the
related
Afro-Brazilian,
to it anyway.
If you're familiar with the Afro-Brazilian, they're known as the Caboclos, which are the Amerindians of Brazil. Native American culture has merged quite a bit with African-American culture, as well as African culture in the diaspora in general. And so it is not uncommon that you will find that in the African-American community, claims of having an Indian spirit or having Native American blood is used as a means of verifying spiritual power, too. Oh, she's a root doctor. She's got Indian blood in her.
Right.
That's something you'll actually hear in a lot of communities. So there is that merger with Native American spirituality.
Right. And you'll see, for instance, in that book on Jim Jordan, the root doctor from Como, North Carolina, after he died, a book was written about him, and interviews were conducted with people who had been his clients, and very often it was said, well, you know, his grandmother was an Indian. And you'll also find this in some of the older a Sunny Boy products, which was founded by a woman who was part Native American, part black, and it was alleged Indian grandma products, right? So the idea of the Indian as not only a spirit guide, but as an herbalist, and a healer, a medicine person, and as Indigo is saying in the chat room, the black Indians, black Cherokee, Blackfoot, black Indians. This is a very strong tradition in the black community, and the contact with the ancestors, if you have Native ancestors, almost always includes that. So, and Professor Ames notes the Mardi Gras Indians. Yeah, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the ideas that come up.
My spirit guide was actually my great grandmother's spirit guide.
Oh.
And then, so I think what happened was in our family, we came from Ireland in the 1700s, I believe. But anyway, my sixth great aunt was actually captured by the Indians. They thought it was another family, but it was actually her. Her name is Jenny Wally. You can look her up, and you can read all about her. But they killed her children. She was pregnant at the time. They killed her newborn when he was born. And I think that this is, he's with me for penance.
Well, this is something very interesting, too, because a lot of people who would identify as white who work with Indian spirit guides have talked about, as you said, penance or...
Mm-hmm.
There's a kind of a what we might call reconciliation, resolution and restitution,
strongly tied to spiritualism. You know, the idea of elevating a spirit. You know, they come back, or they continue to become a guide as a means of kind of elevating themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
these are deep matters here. These are really deep matters.
Very.
Yeah, so it's taken me a long time to discover all this, obviously. You know, it's taken me a long time to discover it all. But, it's not like it happened overnight. You know, it's been a lot of research, a lot of genealogy, and then it all made sense. So it's been a long journey.
So what we're saying here is something about those who wish to use the spirit board. They might not have to go through the same, path that you go through, but it helps to be born gifted because the spirit board is something that there is not, you just don't go to a three Tuesdays in a row class and learn how to use it,
No.
It needs to kind of call to you. Well, I'm very fascinated by your work, and I really think that this has been a deep conversation. Anybody who wants to study spirit board work or that kind of thing, or feels that they have a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient gift, I would recommend they contact you. I know that you do teach people and you do work with people. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right. Yeah. So, and Ollie says in the chat room, we should do a part two to talk on some of the mechanics of how to use the spirit board. Come back, Ms. Melanie. Well, that is true. Our time is up for this, though, and we're really running over. And we're going to go to our first caller. So let's turn it over to Ms. Tammy Lee, okay?
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and thank you so much, y'all. And everyone, the support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next call-in client, and our next call-in client is calling in from area code 715. This is Sweet Lady on our Lucky Mojo Forum, and she wants to be called Raquel here on BTR. Raquel, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, welcome back to the show. I want to go ahead and let our host know that you're a callback, and thank you so much for listening to us each and every Sunday and for checking back in. And I'm letting him know that you called in several months ago, and conditions have indeed changed since that reading. And also that you, you're a current client of Flora of AIR as of 4 to 5 months ago, and she writes, has someone jinxed my money or gambling luck? I have trouble with money, and I hardly win at gambling. I made myself a mojo, and I think I have it working, but in general, there just seems to be a block or a significant amount of ill luck to overcome. I've uncrossed and uncrossed and uncrossed myself in all the areas that I can possibly think of over the past 34 years. I cleanse weekly, and I have a gambling mojo. I've started to win at bingo recently, but it seems like tough going as far as winning. Any advice? Thank you. Turning it back over to you.
All right, Raquel. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. About what is your age generally?
35.
So you're past your Saturn return. That's one of the biggest things that crosses up people's luck. But you're past that. Okay, and what sign of the zodiac are you, huh?
Virgo.
All right. Well, Virgo's a not known for their super luckiness because they're considered to be the hard workers of the zodiac, but they can be lucky. They sure can because they are ruled by Mercury, which is the planet that has influence over gambling luck. And first thing I'm going to do is recommend a couple things to you just real quick, that when you consider this, that since you are ruled by Mercury, don't try to gamble when Mercury is retrograde, and do try to gamble on Wednesdays. Okay, now I'm going to read some cards. All right. See if you are crossed up or what is happening here. All right. Well, I do see a minor thing, but it's not. It doesn't look like you've been, let's say, cursed. It doesn't look like you've been messed with on a serious level. I mean, let's put it this way. When I see it looking for a serious thing wrong with people, I'm always seeing something like the devil or the tower or, you know, something like that. But I do see something. And this is called the Three of Swords. And this is a card that shows a big heart in the sky with three swords through it. And that does seem to be that someone did try to cause you some pain. Okay? Now, Three of Swords often points to pain in love. Have you had any kind of trouble with an ex-lover or ex-good friend?
I have always had trouble with love.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah.
Well, all right. So this is indicated here. The next card is a card called the Magician. This is a good card because this is a card of somebody who can take control of the situation. The Magician says, it is within your power to control and rule the four elements to make magic. But you need to bring in your passion. That's the red roses. You need to protect yourself, which roses have thorns. And you also have to have, and I know this may sound interesting, a kind of a good reason to do this. In other words, not just to gamble, just to win for the, you know, but to, you know, maybe pledge a little money to help others or something like that if you win. In other words, make a little vow or offering. Because the magician is shown creating a little garden at his feet, which has lilies surrounded by roses. And the lilies stand for, well, in Catholic Church, they often stand for virginity or celibacy, which does represent Virgo. But usually they would represent children, the innocent, and sometimes, you know, we talk about Easter lilies and sacrifice and the idea of giving something. So that is the magician. So that's a good card, and it says that you can deal with this. The next card is really odd because it's the Three of Wands, and that is the magician card facing the other direction. This is the same man who is the magician, but 3 years have passed, and he has been waiting and waiting and waiting, and his clothes have gotten patched and torn, or torn and patched, and he's looking out over a little bay of water, and three ships finally come in. This might be an astrological thing, but we have the three. We have Three of Swords and the Three of Wands. So I'm looking at a three-year situation here. Something happened, and it may be something that started in a love situation but got carried over into your luck. It says to me that you should be able to get this thing off. It is not forever. All right? That's what I'm going to see here. Let's turn it over to Miss Melanie and see what she has to say.
Let's just, you know, since we're, you know, wondering, Miss Kate, you think that maybe, you know, this is a possible, you know, love situation that's flowed over. We'll ask the spirit board real quick what, you know, if that is what's going on. We'll just confirm what you said. Takes just a minute. It is. It is what it is, as you said, Miss Kat. It's a love situation that's coming back to hinder her. But the cards that I drew were the Ten of Cups. And the Ten of Cups is a very positive card, which indicates that you should be able to get this going and get past this. But like Ms. Kat said, you have to protect yourself and not be, you know, and do it on a Wednesday. And, you know, there's certain aspects of better days to do it. I also get the Six of Pentacles, which is the giving and receiving of money, you know, balancing things out. Don't be constantly banking on making a ton of money when you go, you know, to gamble. Go to have fun and to play. If you take the stress out, then you'll have more fun and you'll win more. And you won't be as stressed if you do lose or be upset. The next card we get is Temperance. Temperance is about balance, and it's about your well-being. And this goes back to the Six of Pentacles. It's talking about balancing your life, getting your life balanced, getting everything in order within yourself, to getting rid of things that, not focusing so much on, you know, the gambling, but focusing more on yourself. The next card we get is the Nine of Wands, and the Nine of Wands is a man. He's standing there, and he's standing in front of eight wands, and he's holding one wand, but he has a bandage on his head. So you will get through this. You just have to, you know, you have to fix yourself a little bit, you know, get yourself more balanced.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, and I'm seeing here, Aura raised a thing here. Does this have, what was, it, when you win with gambling, consider what you do with the money. And she mentions family, don't take from family, give to family. But and that's kind of what I'm saying with that magician card, too. Let's see what Ollie has to say as far as some remedies, because we know you've uncrossed and uncrossed. So what we're really looking is how to win, and especially at bingo. Okay, so Ollie, give her some ideas.
Sure, I can talk about a couple different things here. Just a brief question, though. When you're gambling, what purpose are you gambling for? You know, some people gamble because they need the money. Some people gamble for fun. What is it exactly that takes you to gambling?
I guess it's because I need the money.
Okay, you need the money. Okay, well, here's a couple things that I'm going to mention. It's perfectly fine, you know, but be careful. I have found, in my experiences of working in gambling, that people who tend to go in with that pressure, I need to win this to pay the bill, I need to win this to do that, they have a harder time winning. That's just been my experience. People who usually win big are the ones that go in with this type of, you know, the money is loose in their hands and they're not holding it tightly to it. They go, I set aside this amount of money. If I lose it, I lose it. If I win it, I win it. And they tend to win big, okay? When you go in there with that kind of pressure, almost that sense of fear, that sense of, like, I need this money. I need to, this is what I'm going to use to pay my rent, or this is what I'm going to use to do this, or this is what I'm going to use to break out of my financial, you know, restriction. That is a big killer, and it will actually hurt your chances a bit. This has been my experiences of working for people who want to gamble, right? Experience for people who need gambling magic. My suggestion is always treat gambling as it is, a leisure, a game. Okay? So when that pressure is a little bit removed, that will help you a great deal because you're doing a bunch of uncrossing and cleansing work. According you know, to the basic principles of spirituality, you're constantly cleansing yourself. You should be fine. Why do you keep losing? Because you come in with that approach. And this can also speak a little bit to the you know, the hurt that you kind of bring with you into the, you know, gambling situation. The other thing I would really suggest is, this is something we can't help you with here, is to definitely take a look at your astrological chart. Sometimes when we have cases like this where a person is uncrossed and they have something minor but they still keep having bad luck both in love and money, it may be something astrological, maybe something in your chart that needs to be remedied, okay? Not all of us are born under favorable stars. That's the reality of it, okay? So definitely take a look at that. What I would suggest in terms of gambling is, since you've uncrossed yourself, uncrossed your money, okay? When you go before you go to the casino, before you gamble, whatever, you take your money and hold it over some jinn killer incense, okay? And you're going to waft it back and forth as you pray over this, and you're going to say, I remove anything that hinders this money. So this money flows smoothly, that it goes out, but it just as quickly comes back in. And you're going to smoke that in the jinx killer to remove anything that's been placed on the money itself, right? You can also place the money you're going to use under a black and green double-action candle. That's something that will also assist you in uncrossing, unjinxing your money. But I like the idea of incense smoke right before you go in. And then after you've smoked it in some incense, what I would highly suggest is dusting it in a pinch of magnetic sand, black cat powder, and lucky 13 powder. Why I think these two particular products is because they're both aimed at kind of turning what is unlucky, lucky, right? Black cat is generally a image that is associated with bad fortune, bad luck. But the product is used for gambling. 13 is sometimes considered an unlucky number. But here it's been turned on its head, and that's what we need in your situation, is turning this thing on its head. So after you smoke it in jinx killer, dust it with a pinch of magnetic sand, with a little bit of black cat's powder, a little bit of lucky 13 powder. The other thing is that when you go in, dedicate what you're doing. Make sure that you go in there with a sense of freedom. You don't go in there with a sense of, I need to make this amount of money. Say, I'm going to accept whatever you know, the spirits give me, whatever amount that they will give me, and I will donate this portion of it to helping other people, helping people who may be having financial difficulty, or if there's a cause you feel particularly strong about, giving it to that. Because this idea of letting money flow, the reason why I'm saying donation is because it's tied to the idea of letting that money flow, both in and out. And if you do that, that will help. A lot of times, money jinxes come from holding our money too tight, right? And giving to charity blesses money in ways that we sometimes don't even realize. There's a reason why some of the richest people in the world are also some of the biggest philanthropists, and they're also the biggest people who donate to various causes. And you look at someone like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. This is something to really consider. There is a spiritual principle here that you need to understand. So make sure that you donate hoping for. That doesn't mean what take all your winnings and give it away so you know, you're broke again. Let's say I'm going to donate 10% of this to this cause here. And then go in there without that sense of worry, and you should be fine, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Good luck, hon. And remember that Mercury is your ruling planet, and Mercury is called Quicksilver, and you might want to wear a little silver amulet or talisman having to do with money. Mercury dime is used for protection from jinxes, but it's also used for good luck in gambling. And you can get some jewelry. We don't sell it in our shop, but you can find it online. People will take a little fine jigsaw, and they'll cut around a Mercury dime inside the circle. They cut around a little figure of Mercury, make a little necklace. You can find those sometimes. Or you can get a Mercury dime and a gold bezel. Wear that, dress it. That's a good luck talisman for gambling. Okay?
Yeah. You can also leave coins. This is an old trick called calling on the spirit of a place. You can leave 3 coins as an offering to the spirit of luck before you, if you're entering like a casino. You leave it right by the door. You just kind of kneel down like you're tying your shoes. You leave these 3 coins. I would say, I leave these 3 coins for Lady Luck that she may favor me until my return. You know? And so you go in there leaving that offering to Lady Luck, or in this case, if you want to work directly with Mercury, you can absolutely do that. You walk in there, and you put in some 3 coins, and you say, offer this to Lady Luck, and go in. The idea of offerings to spirits is very strongly tied to the idea of giving it to donation. It's that idea of giving.
I gotta just say something, Ollie, because this reminds me of something I saw. There's a card room in Santa Rosa. In California, you can't have casinos. In the old days, they've outlawed them. Now they got the Indian casinos. But back in the old days, they had what were called private card rooms, and that was a card room. And I was once out there. There was a restaurant next to it, and I was actually at the restaurant, and I saw the card room, and I thought, I'm going to walk over and see what this thing is. And as I was walking up to the door, an older man, I wouldn't call him too old, 55 years old maybe, heavy set man, white man, walked up to this building, which was this private card room, and it had flower boxes on either side of the door under the windows, kind of, you know, with you know, like geraniums in them. And the guy just throws some coins into the flower box and then walks in. And, boy, I looked at that and I went, huh. And I thought, I bet if I went in there, there'd be a lot of money, but I didn't dare. I was poor, but I wasn't going to steal from the flower box. But I thought that was interesting, and that's very typical what you just described. We better move on, though, because we're running way over time. But that was interesting. That was real interesting. All right, let's turn it back over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, we have about 38 minutes left in today's show, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com, and this week's special guest, Miss Melanie of The Curio and Kennel Shop in Nashville, Tennessee. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code 310. And this is, y'all, my screen, Janine. Janine, are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let everyone know that you signed up under So Lovely, grand name, and that you'd like to be referred to as Janine, and also that you are one of Conjurement Ali's clients. The last time that you have had a reading with Conjurement Ali was 6 to 7 months ago, and yes, conditions have indeed improved. You have also gone to Madame Pamita for other situations that are different from those that apparently from what you have addressed with Conjurement Ali, and she writes for the show. I moved back to a parent's home after graduating from college. The relationship with the parent I'm living with has never been good and is deteriorating fast. I have a boyfriend who also lives at home. Once he finds a job, we will be moving in together, but he has been looking for months with little results. While he's looking more seriously now, his field is specific, and there just haven't been many job openings. I need to get out of my current living situation and can't afford rent on my own right now. I want to know if I should wait out in this toxic environment and if he will find a job soon or if his parents will let me stay there until he does. Do I have other options that I'm not seeing? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, Ali, since this has been your client in the past, Janine has come to you. Can you be the first one to do a reading on Janine?
Certainly. Well, Ms. Tammy, first, a brief question. How old are you, Janine?
I am 26.
26. Okay. So I've been looking into my carnelian ring, which contains my spirit of divination, a djinn that assists me with scrying. While Ms. Tammy Lee read your description, I'm seeing a couple things here. I definitely see the toxic situation in your living situation. I see you living surrounded by darkness, and it's oppressive. But I also see that it's a burden to your parents as well. So while it is difficult for you, and you are quite frustrated and you want to get out of there as soon as possible, do also realize that this is a difficult, they're in a bit of a difficult situation as well. It's frustrating for both parties, not just you. And understanding that will kind of help you deal with the situation and give you a bit more patience. I am warned against you moving in with your boyfriend's family, right? You asked if should I be moving in with them. This is not something that I would consider here because I do see that the situation there will become very, very tense. I see people squeezed into a small box. It doesn't mean literally that he has no space. It means that it will become very tense for all those people under one roof. There's already enough tension there. The next thing that I see here is a set of webs that are connecting each other. If you've just graduated from college, there should be an alumni association or some type of networking available to you. Definitely use that to your advantage. Same with your boyfriend, especially if he has such a specific field. Colleges aren't just about producing and churning out graduates. They're also about making sure that the graduates land good jobs because that looks good for the college. They can then brag about it. They can then talk about this percentage of our graduates go on to, prominent fields. So you both should be looking into networking. Networking is going to be your biggest success here, not just applying the jobs, which I sense that he's, both of you were ready to do, and both of you are ready to interview, and both of you are ready to kind of take up whatever position needs to become available. But networking is going to be very, very big for your success. Calling upon friends, talking to colleagues and former classmates, looking into the alumni associations or whatever associations are available through your college. The next thing that I see is an image of you wearing a vest, doing work, but taking it on and putting on another. This indicates to me a temporary job. Don't be afraid for both of you to look into seasonal work or temporary jobs that can help jumpstart you financially while you land more permanent jobs. And that's going to be a way of ameliorating your situation. In the end, I do see you staying in your current living situation until you're financially prepared to move out. So yeah, that is the option available to you. It may take, it may be a bit frustrating and it may take a couple months before you're ready to move out, before both of you are ready to move out. But you haven't exhausted all your options. Temporary jobs is something to look at and make sure that you are networking properly. If you don't have things like LinkedIn and other various social connections as well as working with your alumni association, look into that immediately, okay? And that's both for you and your boyfriend because he has a specific field that he's getting into. And I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues to see if they have anything to add or any insights they may reveal.
Okay. Well, I've just done a real quick three-card cut with the Rider-Waite-Smith-Tarot. First card, Five of Pentacles. This is a two people, a woman and a man, outside in the snow, poverty-stricken, and they're outside of a church and walking by looking very, very grim. And the church is all lit up and festive inside and has a beautiful stained glass window with coins as part of its decorations. This card often says exactly what Ali was saying. You are overlooking sources of support. There is something else, and he mentioned alumni association, he mentioned temporary jobs. My own practical spirit, I don't need spirit of divination here, baby. I've been on the street myself as a young woman and needed to know where to do, take any job offered. If it's if your boyfriend is so all-fired picky that he has to work in the specialization which he graduated in, he deserves to live at home and not have you, because you deserve to go out and make your own way, baby. You guys gotta think about this, not from the standpoint of privilege, like this card says. Go in and get the help you need. If you had to, you know, work in a laundromat, taking, you know, the time to clean out the dryers in between when people use them, then that's what you'd do, but you'd work it as a part-time job until you could get the specialized work you needed. People do that. People do that. So don't hold yourself above a temporary job. But also, network with your pals. Go into that church and get that help. Next card is the Chariot. Well, this shows a man with a chariot with two sphinxes to pull it, but one male, one female, but they're not hooked up. And we call this card the card of waiting for the right astrological moment. Wait, everything's pretty much set in motion. You might want to find out. There may be some star indication here that holds you back. When I get this card, I often say, well, I ought to dig into this astrologically, but I don't have time to do that on the show. So there may be something going on here as far as conditions not quite being ready. But stick it out. The right time will come, and you want to work for this while when everything's in alignment, when the best star time possible. Third of the Knight of Cups. This is a guy who's come across the desert. He has come to a little stream. He has a goal up on top of a hill. Big oak tree stands for stability. It can't stand for business partnerships or marriage, but he can't reach it. He can refresh himself. But he's got to go downstream where there's about a dozen little cottonwood trees, forms a little oasis. You're going to have to set some smaller goals. Again, call on that network of friends before you can get to that high thing. And this goes for him too, the boyfriend. Both of you, you all ought to sit down and have a planning session. If you really want to live together, have a planning session. Should one of you been working at McDonald's right now? You know what I'm saying? Should one of you be working at Payless Shoe Source? If you really want to live together.
Sorry, we both have jobs. It's just that he could be making much more money with what he got his degree in.
Yeah,
so.
Well, then rent a small apartment, honey. Let's put it this way. If your life together comes first and you will strengthen each other, you know, rent a one-roomer, but get together. That's what I would say. Have that talk with him. Because if it's all being...
Take your time, because both of us are indicating connections as well as possibly looking into other types of jobs. That, if you already have a job, that usually means picking up a second job. It usually means, hey, the season is upon you. This is the time for second jobs. How many people go out there and go get a seasonal job at Old Navy or at Zara or whatever, or Express or even clothing, a retail store, go work at a cell phone company, or Macy's. All these places are looking for seasonal employees. They pay great. You're looking at, if you live, for example, somewhere in California, some of these places can pay anywhere up to $15 an hour for a seasonal job. It's only for a couple months. It starts from usually around Black Friday, and it goes up until beginning of January. And that period of time gives you a good boost in finances so that you're out of that Five of Pentacles situation. Cat's advice of you're overlooking something, and my advice of overlooking something, reconnecting, and putting on another vest stands even if you have a job. You need to find something else. Obviously, the jobs you have aren't giving you the money that you need, but you're sitting there going, well, we're waiting for something better to come along. Something better isn't going to come along until you address the now, the immediate. You need to get that chariot moving, and the way to do that is by going out there and getting a second job. Even if it's only a temp job, because that will help so that you have that financial cushion that you can get that studio or that one bedroom or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, strength united is stronger. Two can live more cheaply than one. So that's our advice. Now let's see what Ms. Melanie has to say as far as root work to get those extra jobs. And I just had to say, I had a big chuckle smile on my face while Countryman Ollie told me all the jobs you could get, and I'm going, a true child of Orange County.
Yeah. I've never worked at this place.
You used to, Yeah, I know. You said what came to mind. It was beautiful, honey. It was just so sweet. You're such a beautiful child. All right. Ms. Melanie, we turn it over to you. What can they do root work wise now?
Root work wise, from what the two readings have indicated, you either need a better job or you need another job. So to work on getting another job, simple but effective, we call them bottle spells. Some call them container spells. The way I do mine and the way I would do a job spell for you to get a better job or another job, depending on, of course, what you would want in your petition would be very specific, but the principles are the same as far as the roots and the herbs that you would want to use. You take a little mason jar. I use mason jars. Put a little gravel root, some benzene, and some alfalfa in there. Gravel root is great for, which is from the plant, Joe Pye weed.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for keeping your, and finding the job. That's what they use. Some people, I think, carry them in their pockets when they're going on a job interview in their shoes. And then the alfalfa is great for helping to hold on to money, draw in money. So those are some great things. In this container with your curios and herbs, you put a little steady work oil in there. And then how I do mine is I heat mine up on the stove in a little pot of water. So that way I get everything melding together, get it all nice and hot with my petition in there. And then I'll fill it with a green candle that's been dressed with steady work oil. So that way, you know, because once you're if you put personal concerns in it, there's, you know, and you seal it all up, it's all sealed in there and it's ready to go. Twice a week, that's how I burn green candles that have been rolled in the gravel root, the benzene, and the alfalfa with a steady work on it, oil on it. I burn those on Thursday and Sunday during the hour of Jupiter, usually in the morning before 12 because I want to draw something to me. So that's a great effective spell that you can do that is something you could do yourself at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll help you find a job.
That's a lovely description of how to do this kind of work, and I love the thoroughness of the way you do it at the Jupiter hour. For those who don't know what that means with planetary hours, just go online and look up planetary hours, and it'll all be explained.
Yep.
All right. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and we'll go to our next caller.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in each and every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And y'all, we've got just about 22 minutes left in today's show. We're going to pull a caller straight from the queue. This is 747 from California. 747, are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hello? 747, California, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, great. The connection is kind of bad on this end. And if it continues to be bad, I'm sorry, but we might have to go to another caller.
Yeah, let's do that, Miss Tammy.
Sure, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Nagashiva, sir. Let's go with 617, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hi, 617. Hi, may I have your name for Blog Talk Radio for the show, please?
My name is Sheila.
Sheila, great. Well, thank you so much for calling in with us, and welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to our host, Ms. Catherine Ironwood. Ms. Kat?
All right. Well, since we don't have a written description of your question, can you just briefly give us your question?
My first time calling in.
Mm-hmm.
And not sure how everything actually works, but I am getting married, and I just want to see what you could possibly share with me.
All right. You're going to get married. Let's ask you just a couple of questions before we go to the reading then. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Cancer.
Cancer. And the person you're marrying, what sign of the zodiac is that person?
He's an Aquarius.
He's an Aquarius. Okay, so we have a water sign marrying an air sign. All right. And may I ask one more question? Is this your first marriage? Or is this have you married before?
It's my second, his first.
Your second, his first. All right. We're going to turn this over to Ms. Melanie, and she's going to give a reading on just basically give a little glimpse into the future of this marriage.
Okay. When are you getting married?
Next September.
Yeah, okay. We'll do a three-card spread. All right. The first card I get is the Eight of Swords. So the Eight of Swords is telling us that this is the fear card. This is a card where a lady's standing there, and she's got these loosely bandages around her, but she's surrounded by, you know, eight swords. And so this is telling me that, you know, there's some fear there on your part. The next card is the Moon card. Now, the Moon card is also about fears. So I'm getting a lot of fear here, but the end card is the Fool card, which is the Fool card is a very optimistic card. It's a card of, you know, having faith in what you're doing, and not of being afraid. Can you shed some light on a little bit of the fear that you have here?
The fear kind of kicked in when I thought we were having a small intimate wedding, and all of a sudden this turned into something bigger. And I think that's when the fear started kicking in for me.
Okay. So,
even though I'm not really afraid of being around a large crowd, I just wanted something small and intimate.
Right. So you're starting things off a little stressed out here.
I feel stressed about it.
A little stressed about it, yeah. Don't let those things get in your way, because what's going to end up happening is as you go along, you know, with the wedding planning, and you're having this big wedding, you lose sight of what the end result is, which is the marriage and the relationship of being together, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what the Fool is telling you. It's telling you to be, you know, this is a new beginning for you, you know, to be optimistic, everything's going to be good, to have faith, and to forget all that other stuff, you know, because... You know, when you have your wedding, even though you plan it and you want it to be perfect, no one's going to know what went wrong. They're not going to know what actually was supposed to happen and then it didn't. They're not going to know the difference.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as far as your relationship, you know, I just flipped over another card and we get to Lovers. So, you know, you have a great foundation, a great relationship. You know, you're being blessed with this new beginning.
We do.
So,
we have a great relationship and a great connection.
Yeah. You know, you're being blessed by this and by the Lover's card. Because the Lover card is Adam and Eve, and then you have an angel over top of you. And the angel, you know, is bringing you together, you know. So this is a great union for the both of you. Just don't let all the other stuff get in the way. You know, like I said, when it's all said and done, nobody's going to know what was supposed to have happened and didn't happen.
Okay.
So just don't lose sight of the end result, okay? Because you've got a great relationship. You're going to have a great, you know, great life together. So just don't let all that other stuff get in the way, okay?
Okay. Wonderful.
Let's see what I'm getting here is what you're kind of saying is that the marriage is going to be great. It's the wedding planning that's causing the stress.
Yeah.
So let's turn this over to Ali and see what he says.
Well, you know, I've cast a geomantic chart here, which I think is one of my favorite methods for doing kind of like a year analysis, or what can you expect in your wedding? What can you expect in the future? It covers a variety of different things. First and foremost, just an overview of what's your connection. You see you have an excellent connection. I cannot deny that. Absolutely beautiful here. Right witness, we have Albus. Albus is wisdom. There's a sense of comfort between the two of you in communication that is absolutely great. And there's a source of love that is infinite and is constantly coming forth. The Albus looks like a goblet and often is associated with the Ace of Cups. This is a very, very good figure. The left witness is the future. This is like Titia. It is ruled by Jupiter and is all about happiness and building a life together and growing together, not just financially, emotionally, but also on a deep spiritual level as well, that this marriage is excellent and excellent for you. And the judge we have is Amisa. Amisa actually means loss, but is ruled by Venus, and in matters of the heart, it is probably one of the better figures to have. And it echoes a little bit of what Ms. Melanie says, is let go a little bit. Release whatever you're holding up within you and kind of loosen yourself and allow yourself to, you know, go for the ride and be in the moment. Remember, this is his first wedding, so he's trying to appease family. He's trying to make it. So also recognize that as well. A couple things to bear in mind, like Titia also comes up in the seventh house. Again, an excellent omen. It tells me that the marriage will be strong, that the connection between you will be very good. Just some things to bear in mind. What can you expect in the upcoming year, especially in terms of marriage? We have Cursor as the projection of points in the sixth house. This is a hidden factor. There is going to be some difficulties with some of the employees that are hired to help out in the wedding. Be careful that you don't spend money with the wrong people, because Cursor passes into the second house as well as the third. This tells me that there may be some employees that are suggested by family members, perhaps if cousins or siblings or things like that, or people that are going to kind of help out with the wedding. Be careful about giving money to these people, because it looks like they won't do the job. Okay? So that's something to be aware of in terms of wedding planning. Be very careful about vetting who you hire to handle the flowers, who you vet to handle the dress, who you vet to handle all these different things, because some of these people that may come recommended are actually not going to be good for you. Cursor is in the sixth house of employees, passes in the second of money, and third of family, of siblings and cousins and whatnot. So this is going to be some family connection here. One of his friends' families might say, hey, you know, I know this excellent DJ. Don't hire that DJ. Oh.
The funny thing is that his aunt is our wedding planner.
Oh, there you go.
You called that one, Ollie.
Yeah, I was hearing wedding planner is what I was hearing.
And I typed in wedding planning up in the chat room.
If you can avoid the aunt. If not, try to get someone else to ameliorate the situation. A good way of assisting Cursor is opening it up, because it is a lock. And so you might get an assistant that you pick, or someone who's a co-planner that you pick, and that person will help ameliorate the tensions that were brought by the aunt. So this Cursor passing into the second and into the third, talking about the family member, is dead on. So be very careful about that, because it's tricky. But I want to end this thing on good news. If you guys are looking to have kids, know that this is a relationship that will have children if you are going down my route. If not, then be careful for it, because both of you will have children. The geomantic figure of Conjunctio appears in the fifth house, telling me that the union between the two of you will produce an offspring, and your first child will be a girl, likely a Virgo.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
I'm gonna
pitch in with a couple of root work advices here. This is an old one. You know what sugar packets are. You know packets of sugar come in, it's in a little paper packet.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. You can make your own, but I'm talking about commercial sugar packets. Let me ask you a question. Do you and him, we're going to be kind of semi-anonymous here. Do you and him already have sexual relationships?
Yes, we do.
You do? Okay. Do you and him already live together, although not yet married?
No, we don't. But
all right.
We spend a lot of time together.
Does he stay over at your house?
Yes, he does.
Good. All right. I want you to get some sugar packets, and I want you to put them in the bed. Under the pillows, if he'll allow it. If not, put it between the box springs and mattress and don't tell him. Okay. I want you to be sleeping on sugar packets, okay? I want you to have sex on these sugar packets. You don't have to touch them now. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to be underneath.
Yes.
But I especially want you to sleep and dream on these sugar packets. These sugar packets, I want you to take down, and if you can, this aunt or any other relative, any other family, I want you to use these sugar packets in some cooking. And you can write on the sugar packets, if you wish to, the names of all the people, his, you know, your mother-in-law-to-be, the aunt, everybody's names on these sugar packets. And then you can break the sugar packet open into making, like, cookies or something, or maybe make some tea or whatever it is going to, you know what I'm saying? And you're going to say now, in the, you know, in the name of God or however you wish to pronounce it, in the name of God, may so-and-so be sweet to me. You know, and as our love was consummated on this sugar, so will our love influence these people who have an idea for wedding planning that is all about ostentation, all about the family, but let them see that our love is the root of this. In other words, the sexuality and the dreaming together that you have is going to be put into the sugar packet, is going to go into the food that they eat. Okay?
Okay.
And you can do this over and over and over again up until the wedding. And another way you can do it, some people will do this, they will take the sugar packets and scatter them open at a crossroads, open our roads for sweetness so that everybody who comes to us will be sweet to us. And Candelo in the chat room said, or pork and beans. That's true. There are dinner foods that are made with sugar. All right. So that's it for me. Now, we're going to turn this over, and good luck to you. God bless you, and good
luck. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee, and then we're going to go to our free spell.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each and every week by Conjumental Lee and Ms. Catherine Ironwood. And our free spell section this evening is brought to you, Ms. Melanie will be bringing it to you, actually, of the Curio and Candle Shop in Nashville, Tennessee. Turning it over to you, Ms. Melanie.
So we were talking earlier about my spirit board, and so real quick I want to tell you how, you know, sometimes I told you I would get off reading from what I heard and what the board would say. So anytime that would happen, here's a great way to, you know, to cleanse your spirit board. What I do first is I wipe it with Chinese wash, and then I let it dry in the air. And then as it's drying, I prepare three white candles addressed to the Holy Trinity, one to the Father, one to the Son, and one to the Holy Spirit. And then I address one red candle to St. Michael. I light these candles. I spray my board with holy water, and I let it dry as the candles are burning down. And then I say the Lord's Prayer, which is Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And as that burns out, then when I come back to my spirit board and I try to, and I ask another question, that's pretty much cleared everything out of the way. So that's just something for those of you who are thinking about using spirit boards, that's a good way to keep it nice and clean of any disruption from what you're hearing.
All right. That's a really, really fantastic thing. Now I'm going to run over this real quickly to make sure I understood it all. This is to cleanse the spirit board. You're going to spray and wipe it down with holy water, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay.
Chinese wash first.
Chinese wash. Okay, see, I missed something. So there you go.
Yeah,
okay.
I was trying to go quick because we don't have much time.
All right. Well, no, that's fine. And then you have these three white candles, and are they placed, because many spirit boards are round, some of them are rectangular or square. Are they placed in a triangle, the three white candles? How are they placed?
Mine are round, and I just place them in a row around the top.
All right, and where do you place the red candle for, Archangel Michael?
I place him at the bottom.
Okay, now we're talking. I'm getting it now.
I was just trying to hurry.
Okay, all right. And then the next thing is you say the Lord's Prayer, right?
Right, but then we spray it with holy water because I want it to be blessed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. First, you wipe it down with Chinese wash, spray it with holy water, you light the candles for the Holy Trinity. Then you say, and then St. Michael, and then you say the Lord's Prayer. All right,
yeah.
I think I got it now. That is really beautiful, beautiful spirit-driven and Christian work, and I love it.
I love it.
Yeah, and this is to protect your spirit board and also to correct it when you feel like the wrong spirits are coming in or when you're not getting an answer. This is to bring your spirit board back in focus with you, back in alignment, make sure that protection, to make sure that the unwanted spirits are not allowed in, and the Holy Trinity is to bring in the spirits that you do wish. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
I said
in the chat room, beautiful.
This is excellent. Sometimes a cleansing for a divination tool can really sharpen and bring a reading into focus. And that's something that anyone who does a lot of readings, right, I would say this pertains more often than not to professionals, who do a lot of readings, right? They sometimes need to cleanse their tools. Ms. Kat talks about how sometimes you use Van-Van, right? You just kind of put Van-Van on your fingers and you flick your fingers, right? And you flick it right
on. I just typed it in. Same as Chinese wash.
And I love that because I have a spritz that I use that's made of a variety of different things that I spritz myself with and or my tools with, because that's 100% true. Sometimes you do a reading and you go, I don't know about that. And doing the work that you just recommended, Ms. Melanie, so beautiful. Cleansing, protection can really bring that reading into focus. It can really bring that reading into focus. So if anyone who's having a hard time with getting an answer from a spirit board, now you know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you could do the same thing. I'm just going to say you could do the same thing with your crystal balls. Crystal ball will just sort of go dead on you. And you can spritz it in Chinese. You can wash it in Chinese wash is one way to cleanse it. I use Van-Van oil on my hand and just rub it on it. And holy water. Many people will wash a crystal ball in holy water. Then set it back on its pedestal and either put the three white candles around it. That's a very spiritualist way to work. If you do feel you need protection, add that extra candle, the red candle for protection. But I usually just use the three white ones. And that will work if you have not been attacked. All right. Well, thank you so much. That was a beautiful, beautiful description of a very traditional old spiritualist way of working. All right. We're going to turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out of here.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and thank you so much, Miss Kat, and thank you, Conjure Man Ali. Also, thank you, Miss Melanie of the Curio and Candle Shop in Nashville, Tennessee. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from AIR will be Madame Nadia of MadameNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. I'm just going to make a couple of little announcements. Every week, Miss Tammy Lee says you can find Kat Ironwood via the forum at forum.luckymojo.com, but I know that not all of you know what that really means. So I get a lot of messages sent to me in Facebook. Please help me, please help me, please help me. And I have a little form letter I have to send people. Go over to the forum. So if you need help 24/7, there are wonderful moderators ready to answer your questions, not just me. Forum.luckymojo.com. You can get free spells, advice, and a lot of stuff out there. We will not give you a reading like we do on this show, but we will certainly help you with any kind of conjure, root work, and hoodoo advice you need. All right, so that was
it
just my little...
It is the best spiritual forum around. I can honestly say that. If you have a question about products, you can go there. If you have a product, there's so many free spells on that thing. Oh.
Yeah, it's really great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Miss Melanie, for being our guest. And we'll see you all next week.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.